A jolt from the job market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Unemployment shot up last month to 6.1%. That's a five-year high and will come as an unwelcome jolt on Wall Street. Worries over jobs and retail sales probably don't fully explain yesterday's stock market plunge. There were also whispers some big hedge funds were rapidly selling off shares, perhaps to cover oil market losses. The Dow will be stepping off from yesterday's 345-point tumble. Likewise, the NASDAQ and S&P 500 lost 3% or more. Germany's DAX is down the most in Europe this hour, more than 2%. Okay, so maybe you haven't given much thought, if any, to Angola, or to the more than 8 million people going to the polls there today. It's the first election in that African nation in 16 years after a decades-long civil war. To illustrate how you have a stake in what happens there, how we all do, consider that Angola is rapidly vying to be Africa's top oil exporter, feeding our voracious demand with more than 2 million barrels per day. And Gretchen Wilson reports the country could soon become a much sought-after global trading partner.
Angola is among the fastest-growing economies in the world. Since 2004, this former Portuguese colony's clocked GDP growth of about 15% a year, largely on the back of billions of dollars in oil exports. The country also has stores of diamonds, iron ore, and copper. Many economists expect Angola to become one of the wealthier countries in Africa. And with the peace, foreign investors have been attracted. China alone has offered the government a line of credit worth $7 billion. The U.S., Brazil, and the EU are all vying for projects beyond the oil industry in agriculture and construction. The hope is today's election could be a step towards democracy and broader prosperity. According to the World Bank, 70% of the population lives on less than $2 a day. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Can you believe close to a third of Americans in their late 60s are still working? And the government says the number of 55 and up workers will soon rise at more than five times the rate of the overall workforce. The AARP's annual convention in Washington this week reflects that trend with a job fair for those who won't or can't stop working. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Penny McCrimmon is all decked out in a mustard yellow suit. She's a former Maryland state worker in her mid-50s, but she's back in the job market.
The economy's in the dumps. I'm a real estate investor, so my income is in the garbage.
McCrimmon always thought at this age she'd be living the good life in some warm place, not lining up at Home Depot and Staples booths at a job fair. But she and other seniors need to cope with the tough economy. And as the supply of young workers for service jobs dries up, companies figure aging boomers might help.
Any questions about CVS?
At the CVS booth, Ernie DuPont hands out pill cases on keychains. He says in the last dozen years, the company's worked hard to triple the percentage of CVS workers over 50.
You know, one of the things that's been very successful for us is our snowbird program, whereby we have people that work maybe in the Northeast during certain times of the year and then travel down to the South.
The next aisle over, retirementjobs.com offers an internet cafe for job seekers.
Well, I'm Bob the Job Guy. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Bob Skladany runs the booth. He's helping seniors looking to replicate the jobs they once held. Most are having no luck. They're applying for high-paid jobs at companies that don't need to offer snowbird programs. That makes Skladany's advice all the more important. Like, if you're being interviewed by someone half your age,
obviously don't make any comments like, well, you could be younger than my son.
Skladany says if you're asked your age, answer the question straight up and move on. He's become a beloved figure online.
Well, I've received 9 marriage proposals. It's true. 9.
But then Skladany gets serious. He starts talking about depressed seniors, people like former state worker Penny McCrimmon, who's heading to yet another recruiter's booth. She's been looking for a good-paying job for 4 years, with no luck. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. and by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
If it's the first week in September, must be a new TV season and time for our regular look at showbiz. Stuart Levine of Variety is joining us. I thought they've just been rolling the shows out when they're ready these days.
The cable shows do launch at different times during the year, a lot of stuff in the summer. Whenever they see the hole in programming they want to fill, they'll do that. But broadcast traditionally, and they continue to mostly launch in the fall.
I think a lot of the buzz I've been hearing is about 90210. I thought that show died a long time ago.
It did, but it seems to have a nice rebirth. CW, one of the smaller networks, launched it again this week, and it got great numbers for it. They also had a nice launch with the second season of Gossip Girl. So CW, which is a network that was formed a couple years ago, is off to a pretty good start this year. There was talk that if the shows didn't do well, that network might not be around in the next few years. But as of right now, they're looking pretty good.
How about the traditional three-letter networks?
ABC has a show called Life on Mars, which is an import from the BBC, which co-stars Michael Imperioli, who was from The Sopranos, so that might get some interest. CBS has a really funny comedy called Worst Week, which I think is going to get a really good play. I think the review is going to be really, really strong for that. And NBC, I'd say of all the networks, there's the shows that I think are most questionable. Talking about 90210, shows that have died coming back again, they're redoing Knight Rider. So we'll see how that does. And they have Christian Slater, who's more of a movie star, is coming to TV for My Own Worst Enemy. So I think all those shows, we'll see how they go.
This time last year, we were all concerned about the writer's strike. That having any after effects?
Well, the after effects it's having is that a lot of the pilots that should have already been seen at this point haven't even been seen by network executives and even critics. Nobody's seen Knight Rider. Nobody's seen My Own Worst Enemy. Life on Mars, I don't even know if the pilot's actually been even completed yet. So I think that's where the writer's strike effect is coming into play. Whether that works, again, for the networks or against them, probably a little too soon to say.
No news may be good news, though.
Could be.
Stuart Levine, Assistant Managing Editor at Variety, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org, and thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.